3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time, once again, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every weekend on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney, the Milwaukee Exfabula co-founder, joins us every week, bringing us stories based on a theme taken from past story slams and other events. And we have a theme this week.
It is the importance of food. You know, we considered this theme because given this week's headlines in regards to the new budget and the national discussion surrounding food, nutrition, and poverty, we thought that this would be a really good time to explore the importance of food and when it comes to community and family and heritage. And so, and maybe dig a little bit deeper in what that means as far as food when it becomes scarce mm-hmm. and what happens to the community in that point. But so we do have a couple stories that we had garnered from past events when we had guerrilla story slams. And I did bring a couple stories today from the Fondy Food Market when we did a guerrilla story slam there back in our heyday of 2010. But do you have any particular, like, memories or stories about food in your family?
Yeah, I mean, I can... Because this first story coming up is mm-hmm. about, you know, old family food memories. And I can always remember, and this sounds silly, but it's food you never get anymore. And it's the stuff that your grandmother used to make.
Yeah.
You know, these massive beef roasts that were like swimming in this thick gravy. And mm-hmm. I haven't had that in many, many years. But, you know, it's something that you can still smell it today.
Yeah, that was Sundays at my grandma. Yeah, we used to call it stringy beef, because to this day, I still don't know what the magic was with that. But
it was awesome.
Yeah, I actually have a particular memory. I come from a single parent household, and my mom was working a full-time job, and she was to race home with her coat on and start dinner. It was one of those situations, and I was really young at the time, and I remember kind of peering over the stove and checking out what she's doing, and she was making something called Chicken a la King, which has a white cream sauce, and to this day, I can't stand white cream sauces. And I was standing behind her, and I was gagging, like audibly gagging, and she turns around, and she swats me in the back of my head, and I just kind of like skittered away. But, you know, it was, talk about being ungrateful for a situation. I had no idea what was happening, but every night she put on a hot cooked meal. And my mom, for the record, is an excellent cook, if there's any question about that. But I just want to kind of look back in time and kind of swat that girl a couple of times in the back of the head again.
How unappreciative you were.
Well, really, I mean, I really was. And I don't know, Mom, I love you. Thank you so much for cooking food. And, you know, just to kind of bring us back to the theme today, the importance of food, you know, not everybody gets that hot cooked meal.
No.
So let's roll right into our stories. So again, these are taken from the Fondy Food Market when we did a guerrilla story slam back in 2010, where the theme was food. So let's listen to the first story. Here is Marion X.
So I don't really have anything prepared exactly, but I grew up about a half mile from this market. This is the Fondy's Farmers Market. I usually go to Mitchell Street now because it's closer to my house. But this was the market where I learned about things that grow in the ground and how delicious they can be. And interesting little piece of trivia, they used to sell live chickens here. And you could either have them dispatch the chicken for you and pluck it and send you home with it. Or you could choose to do that yourself at home. So at some point in the 80s, they stopped doing that. And I was kind of disappointed because, you know, now they have like this lovely petting farm and I'm very excited to go check that out later. But, you know, I was also like a trip to the farm when you came here. So it was really great. But my parents felt very strongly about eating food that came from the ground. And I think that's something that this market and my parents really instilled in me. We would come here every Saturday, and my mom would bring friends from the neighborhood as well. So every Saturday she would come with May and Annie Mae, and Annie Mae ate a clove of garlic every day to ward off colds. But she lived to be like, I don't remember exactly, but she was in her late 90s. She was still very active until then. But we would come here and we would get our food. And my mom, she's a very passionate tomato eater. And I think that tomatoes for me embody summer because of that. So tomatoes, you would come here and you would get your wide variety of tomatoes and take them home and just eat them whole. One of my favorite things to eat as a child was a whole tomato with a nice smear of mayonnaise on it. It's the best thing ever. But this market also gave me a sense of that food should be about your community. This markets like this are normal in a lot of places in the world. Here they're kind of, it's a movement and it's a new thing. This market's been here a really long time, and markets like it have existed for a really long time elsewhere in the world. So, you know, the experience of coming to this market prepared me for traveling. And that, I think, was probably one of the greatest gifts that it gave me, is the sense that I can be part of a community wherever I go. So when I was 20, my parents were like, go do something on your own. Kicked me out of the house and sent me to Ecuador for a summer. I didn't speak Spanish. I didn't know anyone. I'd never been away from them for more than like a week at a time. And they sent me to Ecuador and were like, have fun. And it wasn't like totally mysterious, like you're just going to get off a plane. I was in a homestay. But one of the first things that I did with the family that I visited there, don't speak English or Spanish, and they don't speak English, was they took me shopping. And the market that we went to was close. The place that I was in was in the Andes Mountains, so we're in a valley, and this was at the north end of the city, and we lived at the south end, so we had to take the bus, which was kind of an interesting cross-cultural experience, because I take the bus here, but it's not like taking the bus in Ecuador. It's much more, there's not really a stop. You have to point if you want someone to stop. And we got there, and I got off, and I felt right at home right away. There were vendors with their wares all out in front of them, and, you know, even though I didn't understand what they were saying, they were, you know, here's a tomato, here's a potato, something that you know. Because food really is universal, even if it's different. Garlic in every cuisine you can think of. Onions, every cuisine you can think of. Potatoes come from the Andes. I'm Irish. I think that's mine, right? Nuh-uh. It comes from the Andes. So, you know, and I learned a lot of words that day, and I was like crying all day long because I was so nervous, and everything was different. But, you know, I got there, and here's a tomato, you know, and there's mayonnaise to be had. So it was that farmers markets and the people that bring food to them are a wonderful community of people. And for me, that's comfort food.
And that was Marian X's story about her sort of history with food and family.
You know, her favorite thing about, you know, noshing into a full tomato with mayonnaise. I just, like, you had your chicken a la king version.
I can't do it. You don't sit there with a jar of mayo and spooning it into your mouth.
Can't do it. No.
If anybody has any desire to help our lovely organization called Ex Fabula Story Stage U, we do have a volunteer information and orientation coming up. That's going to be held on February 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the Mitchell Street Library. So we need a few things. If you know anybody who has any experience with marketing, we're specifically looking for people who can say the word specifically, for writers, bloggers, and anybody with a passion for PR. And if that's with a company that wants to do any sort of gratis for us, or just anybody who has an interest to help our Ex Fabula organization get the word out with PR and marketing, we're specifically looking for that. But if you want to hand out a couple tickets at the door, heck, come on in. Mm-hmm. Enjoy our little family in Milwaukee.
All right. Story number two today on food.
Yes, yes. So this next story is also taken from Fondy Food Market. Here is Young Kim's story.
Hi there. My name's Young Kim. The story I have to tell you is a family story. It dates back to 1392. So if you're not good with your math, 1392, that's 618 years ago. In 1392, in my dad's hometown in what is now a part of North Korea, for 600 years, there was a dynasty called the Goryeo Dynasty in Korea. The Goryeo Dynasty made its first contact with the West. That's why Korea is called Korea, because these Portuguese came up and what country is this? Well, this is the dynasty of Goryeo, so then they heard Korea, and that's how Korea got its name. But in 1392, the 600-year-old dynasty, China was weak, and so they ordered a general to go north and to invade China. He went up north to invade China, and then he decided, I don't want to do this. He turned around, went back, and he basically assassinated the entire Goryeo Dynasty royal court, 1392. My family comes from the city where it is. It's called Kaesong. And in Kaesong, which had been the capital for, 600 years, this general, who had just declared himself king, realized that he wasn't safe there because, a lot of people were mad at him. So he took the capital and moved it down to Seoul. So imagine Madison losing its status as a capital and the capital of Wisconsin moving to Wausau or something. Suddenly there are people who are out of work. And so in Korea, there is a dish. It's called duck. And it's in the wintertime, the closest thing that I can think of to the West is like gnocchi, these little dough lumps. And it's a very comforting food. It's eaten in the wintertime when it's really cold out. And it's made out of rice flour, and you just chop up these logs into little dough lumps, and you cook it, and you have it in a nice little stew. But in my dad's hometown of Kaesong, to commemorate this betrayal and this desire for this unending desire for revenge, dating back to 1392. And this is a story that I was told from when I was really little. So from when I was really little, I was taught, don't remember your resentments, nurse your resentments, because it's good. So the Korean ladies in my dad's hometown, they take these dough lumps, and then they take a knife. And then before they put it all into the broth, they take a knife, and they cut halfway through each one. And that is to signify the unending desire for revenge, okay? So they do this, they've been doing this for 618 years. Fast forward to 1975 or 6, my dad's in Manhattan, and he's in there for a business trip, and then he says, I really want some Korean food. He goes into a Korean restaurant. He orders this because it's almost New Year's, and he's about to dive in with the chopsticks, and he sees the cut. He sees the cut, and he goes, "I gotta meet the chef." So he just dropped his chopsticks, ran in back, and it turned out to be a high school classmate of his. He had lost contact with during the Korean War. Somehow the guy made it to Manhattan, started a Korean restaurant. So, and then the other part of this is that I was just down in Chicago, and going through the Korean grocery store, and my mom goes, there they are in the convenience food section, this instant version, a modern version, and there's the cut in the thing, and I turned the package over, and the package was made in Skokie, Illinois. So from Kaesong in 1392 to 2011 in Skokie, Illinois, the resentment lives.
Well, I don't like vegetables as a general rule. A fresh cucumber make me blow my cool. Ain't no room for summer squash. The old rutabaga from the rutabaga bush. Do the rutabaga boogie.
That was Monsieur Young Kim and his fondue food market story about food.
I think it's funny that this ancient traditional food that has a great history behind it now comes in a bag in the grocery store.
What? I know.
Big buildup for that story, and you go, anyway, that's a good story.
Say,
speaking of these gorilla story slams you guys did years ago, I don't want to, you know, suggest anything, but there are any thoughts of ever doing that again?
We have so many ding-dang thoughts about events right now. We're swimming in it. We're always, like, open to more thoughts and ideas to help us, but
More people would help, too, right?
More people would definitely help, and if they wanted to show up on February 20th for our volunteer orientation at the Mitchell Street Library, we're all ears. But if you want more information about that, we have two story slams coming up in March. It's going to be crazy. And then anything story-related, you know, you can always go to xfabula.org.
And to hear today's stories again or to share them with somebody, you will find them at WUWM.com. We do this every weekend during Lake Effect Weekend, right about this time. Thanks, Leah.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Come dance with me. With fresh Rebecca. Sit all day in rutabaga chair, use rutabaga extract to wash my hair. Mow my lawn, made of rutabaga grass, rutabaga paper to wipe my nose, do the rutabaga boogie.